Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
Are you happy to be in the house of God this morning?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. If you don't see somebody today, we got a few people missing. Just text them and be like, where you at? Amen. Now, just tell them we missed you. Summertime is a time of travel, and so a lot of people go out of town, and so we just want to make sure that they're missed. Amen. So this morning, I know we have our kids in here with us, and we have our fellowship hall is pretty much done. Well, phase one is pretty much done, and it looks great in there. We had some last minute things to kind of fix, and so we had to cancel class for the kids this morning. And I want to just thank y'all for y'all's patience, because I know y'all have been patient, and I know there's families who don't come when their kids don't have class. They don't come to in-person church, and you know, we want to be a place for the whole family, and this is not, you know, we don't treat kids ministry like a place to just babysit your kids while you're here. We treat it as a place for them to get poured into. So next week we'll be open again. And I can't wait for y'all to see it, man. Thank y'all so much for giving to Project Vision. There's still more to be done, but man, praise God. Can you just give it up for God? Because man, when vision becomes a reality, you gotta praise God for that. Okay. When vision goes past just the talks and the ideas and the hopes and the dreams, when a vision becomes a reality, you have to give God glory for that. And so we're giving God glory for that. Also, this Wednesday, we have our night of worship. Yeah. So y'all come through at 7 o'clock. It's going to be powerful, man. Our nights of worship are always powerful, and it's just a time for the church to come together. There's no agenda. There's no sermon, but we're just worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So come through this Wednesday. Amen. Also, pray for my wife. Layla's sick. These kids are always getting sick, man. So just pray for them. They're at home resting. I want you to stand with me. We're going to go to the book of Exodus. Exodus 19, we're going to read 1 through 8. 1 through 8. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't have it, I got you up here. It says this. It says, on the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you out to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've spoken over your servant. My God, I pray that there would not be an ounce of me, my God, but only your spirit speaking this morning to your people. I pray that as I have received it, my God, we as a body would receive it. We would consume your word, my God, and not just take it and hear it, but be doers of your word, Father God. I pray that this would fall on fertile ground, Lord, and that you would bring healing and conviction, my God, and obedience, my God, to what you are calling your church to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. God is good all the time. Yeah, I know you got to help me preach, okay? When it's a little bit thinner, I need some help. And today's message is going to be very simple, very practical, hopefully moving to many of you. It's possible that you've probably heard a version of this preached before. I've definitely preached a version of this before, but it's been on my heart to share with you This is something that I have really personally learned to be intentional with. And I've seen God open doors through this, not because of anything that I've done, but simply because of obedience. You know, there's power in obedience. And Pastor Danny this morning in Spanish, he preached on obedience. So I believe that God is wanting to grab our attention to be obedient sons and daughters. Obedience unlocks doors that we could not unlock on our own, right? There's power when we obey God. Now, when we say that, we've got to be careful to not make that about us. You know, obedience is something that it's okay to honor people who model obedience. The Bible does that, especially with Abraham. But we have to remember that glory doesn't come from my obedience. God's going to get the glory with or without me. My obedience is just the first step to God getting glory through something he has called me to do. Like, my obedience determines whether or not God is going to use me to get his glory. He's still going to get glory either way. If I disobey God, he's simply going to move on the way that he did with Saul. The spirit departed from Saul because of his disobedience, and it moved on to God's servant David. David was a simple man who simply allowed God to use him, and God got glory. But God doesn't depend on your obedience. God doesn't depend on anything. But God using you, how many want to be used by God? God using you to get glory, that totally depends on your obedience. I hope that makes sense. Because when you think about it like this, obedience isn't a burden. It's a privilege. I get to obey God. I get to say yes to God. I get to be used. I get to serve. If I treat obedience like a privilege, I'm more likely to say yes to everything that God is calling me to do, even when it feels like a burden. And you know what? You know, God was making me live this out today. This morning I woke up and I needed to finish this sermon, which is honestly very common these days. I'm finishing my sermons Sunday mornings. The weeks are busy, and I was telling somebody earlier this week, you know, preaching is really only about 20% of the pastoral role, right? But it's one of the things that I personally love doing the most. It's a privilege to get revelation from the Lord and preach it to his people, man. I love that. It's such a privilege to me. And that's honestly, it's a constant prayer. And you know this, if you ever reach out and ask, hey, pastor, what can I pray for you on? I'm probably going to say that. Pray for wisdom and hearing the word of God. Because I never want to get up here with just something that I have to say. Because honestly, I don't got much to say. Y'all know me. I don't talk a lot. But when I'm up here, I have a lot to say because the Spirit is speaking it. And so I never want to run dry of what the Lord has called me, tasked me to do as a pastor and as a preacher. But sometimes, I'm going to say sometimes it feels like a burden. Sometimes preaching feels like a burden. It's a privilege, but some weeks that privilege feels a little bit more weighty than others. And so I woke up this morning, I was tired, and I said, Lord, I need your spirit to bring this word today to your people. Because I've got no strength, I've got nothing to say. And if it's not you, without you, Lord, this is a burden. And so I wasn't even sure if I wanted to preach this word, because if I'm honest, ministry lately has been burdensome. But this is why obedience is powerful. And you may never feel the power directly, but God is still going to get the glory through you if you allow yourself to say yes to the Lord. And so I want to challenge each of you today to carry a heart posture that is constantly saying, yes, Lord. Yes to the, that's the title of my sermon this morning. Yes, Lord. Can somebody say that nice and loud with me? Yes, Lord. Come on. Y'all be careful, because you say yes, Lord, God's going to use it. But that's you know, as Christians, we always talk a lot about calling and purpose and anointing, right? Like Christians love to talk about calling. That's probably like the number one sermon that Christians preach. I feel like I don't talk about calling a lot, but we're going to talk about it today. Because it's true. God calls his people. As believers, we have all been called according to his purpose. We have all been invited into this salvation, right? As Christians, we have been called to reflect and bear the image of Christ. We've been called to be a holy priesthood, a holy nation, to be salt and light in this world. We have been called to him. And if you've answered that call, you've already said yes to Jesus, well, you get to partake in the glory that already belonged to Jesus. And I think that's many of us, I hope that's many of us in the room, that we've said yes to this salvation that's already been given and we're walking with Jesus. That's every believer, you have been called to Jesus. Amen. Now, within that greater, broader calling, many of us have been called to a specific purpose. You've been called to represent Jesus in your place at work. You've been called to reach people in your family. You've been called to reach the people that you grew up with, the people that you've got influence to. If you're a husband, you have a calling to your wife. If you're a wife, you have a calling to your husband. If you're a parent, you've been called to your children, right? See or no? Don't get quiet on me. We can go even further than that. Many of you have been anointed for a specific ministry or purpose. In this very building, God has anointed pastors and ministry leaders and worship leaders and missionaries. Like, you have been anointed for a task. In the Old Testament, kings were anointed to lead. Prophets were anointed to speak on God's behalf. Priests were anointed to lead in the ministry of the temple. Like, there are varying degrees within the Christian community. And what I'm trying to say is this. Many Christians only have a certain number of yeses they give to the Lord. Some people say yes to Jesus on a Sunday. Yes, Lord, I accept you into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Yes, Lord, I repent of my sin. And that's the only yes they ever give to God. You say yes to Jesus, but you say no to discipleship. You say yes to Jesus, but you say no to spiritual growth. You say no to Bible study. You say no to any service that is not Sunday at 11 o'clock. Some people go even further, though, right? Some people actually say yes to the growth. They say yes to the discipleship. They say yes to serving. Praise God for them. Amen? We're all servants of the Most High God, but, you know, there's some people that God has called into places of leadership among men. He wants to put more into your hand, but you're like, nah, God, I don't want it. Don't give it to me. That makes me nervous. How many of you have ever told God, God, I'm a follower. God, I'm a behind the scenes person. I bet you that was Moses. I bet you Moses was like, God, I'm a behind the scenes person. I bet you Moses would have rather been an Aaron than a Moses. 100%. You see that in his call. He's giving God all these excuses, but God is saying, no, I am calling you, Moses, to be a leader. I'm calling you to stand before kings and before nations and lead my people out of Egypt. And I believe that God is calling some people today who haven't said yes to that. Then there's other people who would say, Pastor, I go all in. I give God my everything. I pastor, you might be... This message isn't for me, Pastor. I give God my whole yes. I always show up to church. I always show up to serve. I always do this. I always do that. But if you got a wife and kids at home and you're always at church, you ain't saying yes to them. See or no? Most Christians only have a certain number of yeses that they give to God. And I've said this before, obedience in one area doesn't cancel out disobedience in another area. I'm not here today to tell you what you're anointed to do. I don't have that type of power to anoint you without the revelation of God. But the word that God has put on my heart today is to tell his people that if you're going to say yes to God. Don't say yes, but. Don't say yes with contingencies. Don't tell God maybe. How many of you have told God you got to pray about it? I'm saying, like, God called you. Now, let me pray about it. What are you praying about? Don't tell God, yes, God, but in the future. Yes, God, but not right now. Yes, God, but I just had a baby. Giving God your full heart means giving God your every yes. And understand this, that the more you say yes to the Lord, the more God is going to use you. 100%. The more you say yes to God, he will use you. God will look at your yes before he looks at your talent. He will look at your yes before he looks at your experience and your qualifications. Like, when I really think about it, all I have is my yes to God. That is all I've got. I've got nothing else. God's not impressed with my degrees. He's not impressed with my title, with my position. He doesn't care if I'm a fourth generation pastor. That's a really cool story to tell people, and I'm really proud of it. But God don't care. I can't tell God, Lord, I'm a fourth generation pastor. God, look at my pedigree. God don't care. Who are you? All I've got is my yes. All you have, church, is your yes. God is not impressed with your theological wisdom. He doesn't care if you know the Greek and the Hebrew. He doesn't care about your intelligence or your talent. Like, all you've got to give to God is your yes, is your obedience, is your faithfulness, is your faith. And so the reason I bring this passage of scripture is because it provides a really good example of a failed yes. It's a good example of a yes that didn't go all the way. Have you ever said yes to God, but your yes didn't go all the way? It was like, it stopped at a certain point. The people of God are being asked to remember what God saved them from. He says, I want you to remember where I took you from. Remember that I saved you from the hand of Pharaoh. Remember that I took you out of slavery. I took you out of Egypt. How many of us have been saved from something by God? Every single one of us have been saved for the power of sin. Some of you, he saved from physical death. You should be dead right now. Some of you, God saved from demonic forces. He saved you from the hand, the grip of Satan over your life. Some of you, he saved your marriage. He saved you from depression. He saved you from suicide. God has saved some people in this room. That is why Jesus' name is Yahweh is salvation. If you're in the kingdom of God, you have been saved from something. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Tell the person next to you, don't forget it. Because sometimes we forget. And so God tells Israel, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be to me a treasured possession among all people, for all the earth is mine. This verse alone is proof that God doesn't depend on my obedience. He doesn't need my obedience for his plan to succeed. His plan is going to succeed with or without me. But my status, I want you to understand this, my status as treasured possession, that totally depends on my obedience. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. Your status as a child of God, your status as a treasured possession who God looks upon with favor, that depends your obedience on your obedience. He says, if you obey my commandments, if you obey my commandments, you shall be my treasured possession. Then he says, all the earth is mine, all of it. He's saying, whether or not you obey me, whether you tell me yes or you tell me no, I am still Jehovah over all the earth. But your status as a treasured possession, your status as a child of God, your status as anointed by God, that depends on your yes to God. And so this is why just a few chapters later, when the people of Israel construct this golden calf to worship it, God says to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. What happened to my people? Right? What happened to God's treasured possession? Well, he had to give them back to Moses. These are your people, Moses, because my people don't act like this. My people obey my voice. My people hear the sound of my voice and they tremble with fear and they bow down to their knees to worship me. My people don't look at any other God but me. So take your people back, he says. They have turned aside. Verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way that I've commanded them. They made for themselves a golden calf and worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them. That's hard. That's hardcore, man. That's hardcore. These are known as covenant chapters between Israel and God. A covenant is a promise, right? It's a promise between two parties, in this case, between Yahweh and his people. He was trying to form into a nation of holiness. And This is where we get the Ten Commandments and we get the law of God and all that stuff. Now remember, God had already saved them from Egypt. They were already redeemed before this covenant was even made. You understand that? Like, God didn't make them obey the law and then save them. He saved them and then gave them the law. So when I hear people say that they need to get right before they come to Jesus, that's not how it works. It's never worked like that. From the very beginning of time, God saves us in our deprivation. He saves us in all of our filth as we are, and then he calls us to obedience. Right? So when we come to Christ, it's not because we've already unlocked some type of holiness. It's because we need to be transformed into something holy. And so we say yes to Jesus, and we commit to obeying him. We commit to following him. We commit to walking in the Spirit. That's the new covenant, but the model is really the same as the old covenant. He saves us, and we agree to being his. The Israelites agreed to being his. In verse 8, all the people answered together. They said, all the Lord has spoken, we will do. They said yes to God already. And you know what? They witnessed some really powerful, amazing things in the process of saying yes. Like, God really showed Israel some convincing things. They witnessed the power of God over the most powerful man in the earth of that time, Pharaoh. They saw God part the Red Sea. They heard the sound of God's voice rumbling like thunder. They saw the glory of God descend over Mount Sinai with a thick cloud, and they were trembling with fear because this Yahweh, he is so powerful. They saw Aaron be anointed with oil. You know what? It's so easy to say yes to God when there's some glory attached to it, right? It's easy to respond to the altar when the sermon hit the right pressure points and the right song came on. It's so easy to say yes to God when a prophet comes and he tells you all the things that God wants to do through you. It's so easy to say yes to God in those glory moments. But what happens when there's a delay in the process? What happens when things start to go south? What about when God is asking for your patience? He's asking you to wait. He's asking for you to be at peace. He's asking for your pride. What about when it's been years since you received that special anointing and you have no fruits? That's when God starts to get our nose and our never minds. And well, I was down back then, but it's been 10 years. Saying yes to God is saying yes to God. Don't be the Christian who says yes to God, but no to the assignment. Abraham's yes wasn't just a yes to going. It was a yes to the struggle. It was a yes to marriage tension. It was a yes to waiting. It was a yes to being a foreigner. God is constantly reminding me that saying yes to God means also saying yes to some burdens. Are you still with me this morning? Saying yes to him is also saying yes to some burdens. And though every burden is a privilege, sometimes it still feels very heavy over me. I said yes to the calling, so I always say yes to being tired. I always have to say yes to my body feeling depleted. I've accepted that some weeks I'm not going to be able to hit the gym. I've said yes to having my plans get disrupted. When you say yes to God, that means you say yes to the things you didn't even sign up for. You can't say yes to ministry and then constantly say no to the people that you were called to minister to. You can't say yes to the pulpit, but no to the preparation. You can't say yes to the Spirit, but no to conviction. God will use you as far as your yes is willing to go. Now, I realize that these passages of Scripture are pretty extreme, and I don't mean to compare Christ's beloved church with a bunch of idolaters, but the principle remains the same. Like, our yes has to go farther than a moment. You know, I find it so easy to say yes to God when I'm motivated. I find it easy to say yes to God when I'm in a room full of other believers. And there's just atmosphere of, just the Spirit is in the room. It's so easy to say yes when I'm feeling inspired and when I'm pumped up. But it's not really easy when the motivation stops. It's not easy when I'm not feeling inspired. Man, when I don't feel inspired, I just want to throw in the towel. Like when I'm trying to come up with a sermon and I'm like, God, you're not even speaking to me. Where's the inspiration? Where's the revelation? I'm like, God, you must not be calling me anymore. I kind of don't want to say yes. I kind of want to ask somebody else to preach this week. Like that's when the flesh wants to start making excuses. And I simply want to remind you of that yes you gave to God. I don't know what it was, but I know that every Christian at some point says yes to God. Don't forget about it. Don't forget about it. Stop dropping your yes when things get too hard. Stop dropping it. Earlier I said that, you know, this is something that I've been intentionally trying to live by. You know, saying yes to a calling is a lot easier. Listen, saying yes to a calling is a lot easier than saying yes to the things that align with that calling. You hearing me? Just a few of you are hearing me. Saying yes to the calling of God is much easier than saying yes to the things that align with the calling of God. Sometimes that takes discerning. You know, several people have asked me, Pastor, how has Pneuma been growing so much? Some people say, man, I walked in the other day and I don't recognize even half the people. It looks like it's growing. And several people have asked me, how are you growing the church? As if we're doing something very strategic and we're doing all these marketing promotions and all these plans and all these campaigns, and we ain't doing none of that. Since the very beginning, our strategy has simply been obedience to the Spirit. That's it. And I think we can point to some different things and many people, and our ministries are great and all that stuff, and all of that has a part to play. But the main avenue of growth has been the hand of God. I think of the words of Paul to the Corinthians, I planted Apollo's waters, but God brought the growth. And so my seed planting or my watering, whatever metaphor you want to use, has been to discern the things and the people and the programs and the ministries that align with the call that God has placed over this ministry. So for example, when the opportunity arose for Pneuma to partner with just the beginning ministry, Brother Alvaro, are you here? Yeah, brother. My brother right there. Last year, when he approached us to partner with them, my brother Alvaro, he showed some gratitude. He said, Pastor, thank you so much. Thank you for opening the doors to this ministry when so many other churches and so many other pastors are saying no because they feel threatened by another ministry that they don't know. And what if we take their members? And so he says, Pastor, thank you so much. And I don't know, Brother Alvaro, if you just think that I said yes just because I'm a nice guy. I am pretty nice. But I want you to know that there was intention behind that decision. Like a ministry that partners with churches who help disciple men, how could I say no to that when it aligns with the heart of God over this church? And so I knew this is just me planting the seed. I knew that if I said no to that, I was saying no to what God wanted to do through that. Remember last year when Cuts for Christ came? They approached us to partner with them to do an outreach for the community. And then they wanted to do a worship night to end the night. And they wanted to do it at the end of the year, the busiest time of the year. I could have said, man, this is a really busy time for us, which is true. And then they didn't even want to use our worship team. Brought other people. They didn't even ask me to preach. Brought in somebody else. I could have easily said, maybe another time. But there was intention behind that yes. There was intention, especially when they said, and hey, we're calling the night outpour of the Holy Spirit. It was like, God, how much more obvious can you make it? I've got to say yes to this because I know you're going to do something through it. When the opportunity came, when God started bringing some of these young adults over here with their ministry, Koinonia, and they said, Pastor, we want to do something with the young people, with the young adults of this ministry. We want to bring life to it. How could I say no to that? We're simply being obedient to the things that God wants to do. God has brought growth through obedience. And we get to witness the glory of all that God wants to do through obedient servants. He doesn't need my obedience, church. He doesn't need it. If I say no, somebody else is going to say yes. If we say no, another church is going to say yes. Because God will always get the glory. Because this is His church. It's not my church. It's not our church. We are the church. We are His bride. When you consider it a joy and a privilege to be used by God, your yes will unlock doors that could never be open. But I really want to reiterate this point because you need to get it. And I know this is not like a Pentecostal sermon this morning, but I want to teach you something that God has been teaching me. Saying yes to the calling means saying yes to everything that comes with that calling. I'm going to say it again because you got to get this today. You got to walk out the door with this on your mind. Saying yes to the calling means saying yes to everything that comes with that calling. The Israelites didn't understand this. Their yes was tied to a miracle. Their yes was tied to witnessing God's glory. It was tied to Moses, this man who was leading them. And so when Moses goes up to the mountain to spend some time with God, and the Israelites felt abandoned because he was taking too long, they started to feel alone, they started to get impatient. They forgot about their yes that they told God in verse 8. Yes, all the things that you're saying, we're going to do. No cap. Right? Is that... They said yes. We got it, God. We got it. The law, the Ten Commandments, all of it. We got no idols before you. Yeah, check, check, check. And then when things start to get difficult, when the man of God is no longer before them, hey, Aaron, let's build some golden calves to worship in. Because at least we can touch it. At least we can see it. At least it provides certainty. Church, God is going to call you to things, and there's not always going to be certainty. Being called to God also means being called to trust in God. It means being called to have faith in God. It means that you're not always going to have further instructions. You're just going to have the word, and you're going to have to wait. It means you're going to have to say yes to people who have been sent by God, but who you don't like. Oh, don't make me preach on that. Don't make me preach on that. Because God has called you to minister to certain people and He's sending them your way, but you don't even like them. So you're like, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to help him. I don't want to pray for her. Saying yes to God means saying yes to things you've never done before. Oh, but God, we don't do that here. God, that's not a part of the culture of Numa. Shut up. Who cares about your culture? Who cares about whether mama did it growing up? Who cares about that? Whatever God is calling you to, you have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. You have to get comfortable with all the things that you're not used to doing. That's what it means to say yes to the call of God. I've been a Christian a long time. Long time. I've been to all of the youth camps. I've been to all of the youth conventions where there's a massive row of young people who are crying out to God because they're saying yes to the pastoral ministry. Yes, Lord, send me. I'm a missionary. Yes to the prophetic voice. They say yes in a moment of glory. You say yes in a moment where the music is going. And back when I was a young kid, the fog machine was happening, right? It's the glory of God, thick cloud. But when we get past all of that, we don't say yes to everything that God is trying to bring to make that greater calling into fruition. We cannot say yes to the calling and no to the assignment. That was your cue right there to come up right here. So you're a little early, but it's all good. Be right there. We cannot say yes to the calling and no to the assignment. We cannot say yes to the calling and no to the people, the places, the things that are associated with that calling. I had a quick thought this morning as I was wrapping up the sermon. It's like, God, man, it was like a quick revelation. I kid you not. Where the Lord is wanting to challenge somebody today. So let me get your attention. There is somebody in the room today that has said yes to the calling of God on their life, but you've been wondering for a long time, when is it going to start? Where's the fruit? You were given a word a long time ago, and you've been waiting for it. And you're wondering if God even called you. You're starting to doubt the calling over your life. This isn't for everybody, but this is for somebody. God is saying, you said yes to the calling, but you said no to the tasks. God has sent people that were supposed to be opportunities, but you told them no. God will only take you as far as your yes is willing to go. I'm going to close with this. Moses, we know this story. In Numbers 20, Moses is frustrated. He's angry with these people that he was called to lead. They're complaining, they're groaning. It's nonstop complaining with these people. And I get it. Complaining is the worst. Sometimes you don't even want to be a parent anymore when your kids are complaining, right? I get his frustration. He was sick and tired of these ungrateful people that God called out of slavery. And they're complaining to Moses. Moses, there's no water. You just brought us out here to die? That's why you saved us? So we could die out here of dehydration? And so Moses is fed up, man. And so he brings this to God, and God tells him what he needs to do. God says, I want you to command the rock. Speak to it. And when you speak to it, it's gonna produce water. And all of Israel is going to see that once again, I am God. I have never left them. I've never forsaken them. I am with them. I have not forgotten about them. You just gotta speak to the rock, Moses. Moses is mad, right? He's on fire. And so he gets all the assembly together. And he says, man, I'm tired of y'all complaining, man. Y'all want to see some water? You want to see some water? You thirsty? And then he strikes the rock two times. I bet it was like, man, I wish I could have seen it, man. I bet you he hit it once. And then he paused a little bit. He didn't see water. And then he hit it again. He tried to produce something out of human strength instead of obedience to the God. And he did it. Two times he struck the rock. Water came gushing out. And God says to Moses, because you did not believe me, because you didn't believe me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I swore to them. Man, you know, when I read that the very first time as a kid, I was like, God, that's kind of mean. This man, your servant, has been doing all the things that he never even signed up to do all his life. He's been saying yes to you when he's been wanting to say no. He's been led through his own weaknesses. He's been faithful to you. He's leading people who don't even like him. And you're not even going to let him go to the promised land because of a little moment of weakness and frustration that this man had. And this is what God says. God wanted to provide him as an example that the higher you go in holiness, the higher you go in anointing, the more sensitive your disobedience becomes. The higher you go, the higher you go, the more sensitive it is to say no to God. Because God has learned to depend on you. Not depend on you, but he knows that he can count on your yes. And Pastor Danny preached this morning that Abraham had to go up all the way to the mountain to see the provision of God. When God was calling Abraham to sacrifice his son, God was calling Abraham
to give him the yes that he told him about when he first called him. Isn't that crazy? Like he was asking for the promise back. But every step of the way, the higher he went, he was saying yes to God. Yes, I trust you. Yes, I don't know where the provision's at. Yes, I don't know if there's going to be a substitution. I don't know. But he trusted in God all the way up to the mountain, to the very moment he was about to sacrifice his son to the Lord, when God said, wait, now I know that you fear me. The higher you go in your yes, the more you say yes to God, the more sensitive your disobedience becomes. And I believe that God is calling so many of you to be anointed and holy. And Brother Adrian, that conversation that we had the other day where you were telling me, my spirit is sensitive. You know why it's sensitive? It's because you say yes to God. It's because you are covered and anointed by the Holy Spirit. And you feel the sensitivity when you move, when you walk into a room. There is something that you can feel. There is an oppressive spirit because you are sensitive to the Spirit, because you're so tight with God. And that's what God is calling for many of us today, to say yes to Him. Say yes to God. And so maybe you're here today. I'm almost done. You can go ahead and stand with me. Maybe you're feeling stuck. Maybe you're feeling stuck today because you said yes to God all your life and you're still in a struggle. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. Maybe you said yes to God recently for the first time. You accepted Jesus into your heart and you welcomed Him in, but you're wondering why you're feeling stuck. Why aren't things getting better? Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Maybe you've been a Christian a long time. Maybe you have a ministry and you said yes to God a long time ago, but you're just in a moment of discouragement and stuckness and frustration. All I have today to tell you is don't give up on your yes to God. Remember what the Lord has done in you and through you. Remember what God has taken you out of. Remember the trenches that you were in. And keep saying yes to God. I don't know what it is. I don't know who it is. I don't know what the thing is that you have to say yes to. I don't know. That's none of my business. My challenge this morning is that the people of God would always say yes to God and the things of God. And if you have to have a moment right now in the altar where you just lay it out at the feet of Jesus and you surrender some things and you give up some things that you've been kind of withholding, This is your moment to say yes to God. So right there where you're at, I'm gonna pray. The worship team's gonna sing, and we're gonna open up these altars. If you need prayer, the prayer team is here. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, my God, because Lord, I know that there's people in the room who need to hear this, my God. I know there's people in the room, my God, who have been making excuses. I know there's people in the room who haven't said yes to you all the way, my God. They said yes to the calling, but assignment after assignment, they're turning away. Task after task, my God, they're saying no to. They're saying no to the people that you have called them to, my God. They're saying no to the things that you have called them to step into. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would remove every obstacle that is causing your people to say no. I pray, Father, that you would bring to remembrance that word that you spoke back then, my God. I pray that you would bring into remembrance everything that you have taken us out of, my God, that we would know and trust that you are a holy God and that we are called according to your purpose to be used by you, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name that as we say yes to you, God, we would see the power of the divine. We would begin to see miracles, my God. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would see salvation, my God, simply out of yeses, my God, simply out of obedience, my God. I pray that we would see doors open that would never be open without the yes, my God. I pray in Jesus' name that you are calling this holy priesthood to you to say yes to you once again. Come on, these altars are open. If you need to have a moment.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at My Pneuma Church. Thanks again, and God bless.